This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We begin our class with the morning dua. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim. Innaka Hamidun Majid. Allahumma بك أصبحنا وبك أمسينا وبك نحيا وبك نموت وإليك النشور بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد النبي اللهم زدني علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا اللهم أدخلنا جنتك وأجرنا من النار ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين يا رب العالمين All praise due to Allah رب العالمين for all His blessing, His guidance, His mercy, His forgiveness, His risk that He has provided for all of us until today. And may Allah Rabbul Alameen bless us with more risky, inshaAllah. Amen. On behalf of the sisters and the Muslim brother from Karachi, they convey their warm salam to all of us here and scholar who participate in our convention, our conference organized by Life Deen, also convey their warm salam to our jama'ah, inshallah. We also pray, may Allah forgive the sin of those family who passed away when we were there. Allahumma aghfir lahum warhamhum wa'afihim wa'fu anhum. There are three persons who passed away while we are in Karachi. May Allah Rabbul Alameen give them a good place in Alam Barzakh, and also until all of us meet Allah in Alam Akhirah. To remind all of us, the conference that they have there is organized by youngsters, young people, to reach out to the elite Muslim community, those who are English-speaking people, not the Urdu, the English-speaking families. Alhamdulillah, they are showing a very, very positive response that how successful we are in this life, we know at the end of the day we have to go back to Allah. So we have to balance whatever we do in this life before it's too late. And surprisingly, I was looking for a family who was with me when I was in Hong Kong in 1984. We met up, this trip, mashallah. Yeah. It's a good memory for all of us. And we do have some meeting between the elderly scholar, local elderly scholar, with the foreign speaker, and the youths, because we need to engage the elders and the younger generation, the Urdu-speaking scholars and the English-speaking scholars. They have to get together, yeah, to have a better understanding. The topic that they choose this year seems to be a very interesting topic. It's about Iman, faith, me, myself, and I. Meaning a topic that have to look into ourselves. How do we take care of our Iman? Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. How do we secure our Iman? How do we strengthen our Iman? Because everything must start within ourselves first. Before we talk about others. So may Allah Rabbul Alameen accept what all the scholars have done to share with the young Muslim. Now what is important for all of us today is always remember that our life in this world is temporary. We all are aware of it. And Allah reminds us, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَعْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. We all must learn how to worship Allah, get close to Allah, be obedient to Allah, and try our best to do what Allah wants us to do, and stay away from what Allah is not pleased with. Why? Because death is very, very certain, and nobody can escape death. And we all want to have a good ending. Our last ayah that we shared with all of you last Wednesday, I just want to recite back this ayah, where Allah Rabbul Alameen, who loved us so much, who created us for a very noble purpose, to worship Him, to know Him, to find peace with Him, so that inshallah we will have a peaceful ending, inshallah. Now, He created all of us, guide us, and remind us. Not just give us guidance, but He always remind us. This is one of the reminder in Surah Munafiqun. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu la tulhikum amwalukum wala awladukum an zikrillah. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ فَيَقُولَ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَدَّقَ وَأَكُنْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Surah Munafiqun is surah after surah Jumaat. After surah Jumaat, then surah Munafiqun comes in. Allah is telling us, O you who believe, that means all of us who believe in Allah, who believe in Islam, let not your properties, your wealth, or your children divert you from the remembrance of Allah. Why? Because it is very common when we are too busy with dunya, when dunya enter our heart, we may be very heedless. We are not that sensitive about what is right and what is wrong. And that's why we see today, it's so easy for every one of us to be corrupted because of dunya. Either we are corrupted because of money, we are corrupted because of power. These two corruption seems to be very, very common to all of us. The difference is just the level, how corrupted we are. Countries in the world today also are corrupted. The difference is just the level of corruption differ from one to another. So Allah is here to remind us, let not the dunya, your property, or your children that we love, we all love children, we love property, divert us from remembrance of Allah. Remembrance of Allah means remember what Allah wants us to do and what Allah forbids us. That's what is important. We have a responsibility. If Allah gives us children, it is our responsibility to save them, educate them, protect them, guide them. Not just have beautiful children, healthy children, smart children, then we don't guide them. We give them all the freedom to do what they want. We are going to destroy the future. That's why Allah said, "Ku anfusakum wa ahlikum nara." Save your soul, and then we must save our children, our family. Yeah? The same go to our property. Our property can save us and can destroy us. The more you have, the more you do for Allah, it saves you from a lot of fitna. But the more you have, the more you keep and become more stingy towards Allah, then that property cannot help us. That kind of wealth cannot help us. The wealth that can help us is the wealth that we take good care of it and we spend it in the way that pleases Allah. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Meaning, whoever allowed their children, their wealth, to corrupt them, to make them forget Allah, Rabbul Alamin, the do and the don't, then they will end as a loser. وَأَنْفِكُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. And that's how Allah immediately reminds us, when you have property, and even you have children, you have to educate your children, make them understand that whatever risky that we have offered, we have provided for them, it came from Allah. Allah is the provider. So we must also educate ourselves as father, mother, husband, wife, and also our children, that when Allah gives us something extra, don't forget to give back to Allah. In fact, donate, contribute, zakat, and all this kind of righteous activities. Because by doing that, it will purify our income, and may Allah bless us because we are thankful to Allah, Rabbul Alamin. We are using His ni'mah to please Allah Rabbul Alamin, to help the poor and the needy. And that's why Allah said, and spend of that which we have provided you. That means Allah is telling us, whatever that we have is not ours. Allah is the one who provides for us, so we have to give back to Him. When you are given the offer, the opportunity to do something good, don't delay. You know? Just grab the opportunity. Before death come to you, before Allah send angel of death, yeah. And Allah Rabbul Alamin said again, normally human, when they are facing this kind of ending, when they are coming towards the end, then they say, oh God, oh Allah, if only you would delay me for a little while, give me some time. Inshallah, I will do. Yeah, I will donate this, I will donate that. Give me some time. Allah Rabbul Alameen said, He will answer to us by saying, I should, now this is what we will say, if you give me more time, I should give sadaqah. The first thing that we are going to tell Allah, I want to give now. When you are sakaratul maut, then only you know, nothing can help you, your property cannot help you anymore, cannot save you anymore. So this is the time you say, I want to give. Yeah, you can give. But it's a bit late already. A bit late, yeah. Because sakaratul maut, is a time that we just cannot control ourselves anymore. And the Prophet have reminded us that innal maut la sakarat. When death come, it is not easy for us to think of dunya anymore. We are like in a state of drunk. We just cannot think straight anymore. So that's what we say to Allah. If you give me more time, I will give sadaqah. And I will be among the righteous. I don't want to waste my time with people who are far from Allah. I will waste more time, spend more time with righteous people. No more lepak here and lepak there no more, because I have no time to waste. But then Allah Rabbul Alameen is going to answer us by saying, when the time for us to go back to Allah, Allah has fixed the appointed terms, then Allah said there's no more delay. لَا يُؤَخِّرُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. When the time comes, Allah will never delay. The only group of people that Allah will allow the angel of death to delay is only the prophets. Only prophets. When the time for them to die, Angel Gabriel will come to them and must give them the signal. Time's up. If they say yes, then he can pull their soul. If the prophet said no, not today, the angel of death will just back off and go back to Allah and say that he is not ready yet. Like what happened to Moses. Then Allah sent back the angel of death to Moses to say to Moses, Allah loves to see him now. Allah is waiting for Moses. So when Moses got the second message from angel of death, if Allah is waiting for me, how can I delay? It's just like if the king is waiting for us, I don't think we will say, give me half an hour. No. Always, normally we will be there before the appointment time. So Allah is telling us, when the time comes for us to go back, we have to go. Except prophets, they have a special gift from Allah Rabbul Alameen. Now rest in death. When death overtakes us, we will find rest in it. Or will other find rest in our departure? Abu Qatada bin Rabi' radiallahu anhu reported that a funeral passed by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "Mustarihun am mustarahun minhu." He rested, or other rested from him. Then he was asked, what do we mean by that, Ya Rasulullah? Resting or rested from him? So the Prophet replied, Al-Abdul Mu'min yastarih min nasab ad-dunya, wal-Abdul Faji yastarih minhul al-ibad, wal-bilad, wal-shajr, wal-dawab. A believing servant of Allah rests from the worries of this life. A believing soul, they are ready. So this dunya is not going to bother them anymore. They are not going to end their life by saying, where's my money? Where's my account? Where's my gold? Where's my silver? Where's my car? No. They are a believing man or woman. They don't think about that anymore when they are coming close to death. They just want to get more prepared, like Allah said, وَلْتَنْزُرُ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. O you who believe in Allah, look into yourself, what have you prepared for your next life? So the believing soul, they're prepared. So there's no worry for them. But as for the corrupted people, the corrupted soul, the people, land, trees, and animal rest from him. We understand this sentence? Yeah, we understand that? Good. Because he's a He's a troublemaker. He's a dictator. No? He's an oppressor. So he's a very tyrant leader. So while you are like this, like at home, you know, how do you feel if you have a very bad husband at home? I think if that man die, the whole family feel rest. Children, ah, alhamdulillah. The wife, pun, alhamdulillah. You know, at least the burden is taken away. Yeah? So the same thing goes to everything that the Prophet is telling us, that not only the people, the land, the world, the earth, the tree, the animal rest from him. Allahu Akbar. But we believe all of us do love each other for the sake of Allah, and we want, you know, everybody to be together. And there are time, Allah Kareem, because we are so close to each other, and we pray, may Allah make us closer in the day of judgment, to the extent that after one die, the second will follow very, very fast. Yeah. Among the family of a Prophet, the one who asked the Prophet to pray for her is Fatima. The wife loved the Prophet, but it so happened that none of the wife asked the Prophet to pray for them. For what? Yeah. For them to meet Allah as soon as possible after the Prophet passed away, except Fatima. Fatima said to her father, Ya Rasulullah, pray for me that I will be the closest to you. Meaning, after you pass away, may all the family that Fatima will follow. And it's so true. Yeah. Fatima passed away before all the other wives passed away. Yeah. But that is the only daughter of the Prophet that was alive at that time. Yeah. Ruqya, Umul Kalthum, all have passed away before Fatima, before Prophet Muhammad SAW. I don't know any one of us pray like this or not. Yeah? If you have a good husband, good wife, normally we want to live together, and if possible, we want to die together. But normally, we can live together, but death, even you plan, but Allah said no, it's up to him. Now some people claim that they wish for death and are ready for it. But is this a true claim? And can they maintain their claim when death approaches them? Allah Rabbul Alamin blames some people of the past who make such claim by saying, وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ تَمْنَوْنَ الْمَوْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَلْقَوْهُ فَقَدْ رَأَيْتُمُوهُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْزُرُونَ. You did indeed wish for death before you met it, now you have seen it openly with your own eyes. Yeah? Meaning, when death comes to them, they are not ready. And it's not easy. Yeah? It's not easy. Yeah? We always hope and pray, may Allah, Allahumma aktim lana bi husnil khatima, a good ending. But to do that, to achieve good ending to all the sisters and brothers, whatever we do from today, we hope that the ending of what we are doing is always good. Yeah? If you are in the office, make sure that before you leave the office, you have done a good job. You have done your best. You don't want to delay anymore. Because what you want to do tomorrow, we do not know. There is a tomorrow for you or not. We do not know. So anything that you were been trusted with, amana, you have to fulfill the amana in the best manner. Yeah? like homework, you know, whatever homework, you do it. Don't go for the last minute. Prepare. Like you are sitting for an exam, you also have to prepare yourself. It's easy to say that, but that Prophet did mention in other hadith, one of the signs of Qiyamah is coming closer to every one of us. Qiyamah to all of us. There are two Qiyamah. Qiyamah for you and me when we die. There is our Qiyamah. When everything dies, there is the Qiyamah Kubra. Then every living thing will die. But when we pass away one by one, this is our own Qiyamah, our minor Qiyamah. The Prophet did mention that one of the signs that our Qiyamah is close is we start to talk to Allah when we see somebody pass away. When we pass by the graveyard, we say, how good will be for me if I will be in the graveyard now. That means we like to die now. We prefer to die than to keep on living because of the fitna of the problem that is coming up from day to day that we have to face. That is not a good sign, actually. Because as a believer, you want to do more. What you have done so far, we do not know whether it's enough. But we need to do more. So you always hope that Allah will give you more opportunity to do more good deeds before you go back to Him. This really indicates a lack of iman in Allah and His promises. That means you give up now. A true believer is ready for any kind of test that may afflict him or her for the cause of Allah, because of Allah. Unlike those whom Allah described as follows: وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ فَإِذَا عُزِيَ فِي اللَّهِ جَعَلَ فِتْنَةَ النَّاسِ كَعَذَابِ اللَّهِ وَلَئِن جَاءَ نَصْرٌ مِن رَبِّكَ فَيَكُولُنَّ إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ أَوَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ اللَّهُ بِأَعْلَمُ بِمَا فِي سُدُورِ الْآلَمِينَ. They are among the people who say, we believe in Allah. But if they are harmed or they are tested, for the sake of Allah, they consider the people's harm similar to Allah's punishment. When Allah tells us through somebody, we say that this is Allah's punishment. And if victory comes from Allah, they will say, verily we are on your side. We only want good thing to happen. Anything bad, we are very negative and we start to complain. We start to say, why Allah allowed this thing to happen, allowed that thing to happen. Is not Allah best aware of what is within the breast of the people? No. Allah is reminding us that He knows what is in our heart. What is inside us is in the knowledge of Allah Rabbul Alameen. So I would say, brothers and sisters, when you are still healthy, you don't ask for sickness. When you are still young, you don't ask to get old yet. You have to get old sooner or later, but you don't want to get old so fast. And that's why when people ask you how old you are, you don't have to tell them, because you don't want to get old fast. You still want to do more when you are alive, so that you want to do more. You don't just think, I'm going to die. No, then you become very negative to yourself. You say, I want to live longer, inshallah, to do more good things, not to do bad thing. That is important. That means you think positively, husnizan billahi ta'ala. Allah Rabbul Alameen said that there is one of the attitude of the believer that you don't find in the heart of the non-believer is husnizan billahi ta'ala. We have good feeling, good thoughts with Allah Rabbul Alameen. We never give up with Allah. We never give up hope. We never no complain with what Allah Rabbul Alamin, yeah, taqdeer upon all of us. We are learning. We are learning and get ourselves closer and stronger to Allah Rabbul Alamin. The very important thing, brothers and sisters, when Allah put all of us into a test, rule number one, be patient. That's all. Inna Allah ma'as sabirin. Allah is very close to those who have sabr. Now, important provision from this life. Let us then be sincere to ourselves and truthful with ourselves. This life is but a test. Allah Rabbul Alamin is testing all of us. So let us live it with this knowledge, with this understanding and awareness, and take from it what we need for our next life. Allah have reminded in Surah Mulk, verses 2, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ لَيَبْلُوكُمْ أَوْ لَيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ أَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. The one who created death and life, because we were not alive here earlier, then Allah gave us life. And of course, He is going to take back our life. Like what Allah said in others, ayat in Surah Baqarah, أَتَأْفُرُونَ كَيْفَ تَأْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. How can you be so disobedient to Allah? And how can you kufur, deny Allah, when you do not exist before this? I created you. I give life to you. And then I'm going to take you back. And after taking you back, I will give you life again in the next world. That means if Allah will pull our soul through angel of death, it's not that we are dying. It's just Allah is transferring us to other world. And after that, there is no more death. You only experience death here. The next life, there is no more death. That's why Allah said, كَيْفَ تَأْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتِ بَلْ أَحْيَاكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ. And you all will return back to Allah Rabbul Alameen. So Allah Rabbul Alameen here is telling us that we must remember the one who created death and life is Allah, that He may test all of us with which of us is best indeed will be tested by Allah. How do Allah test us? By giving us more. Actually, the more Allah gives us, the more test, yeah, we are receiving from Allah. Who are most tested by Allah is all the prophets. All the prophets was tested by Allah more than any one of us. Look how Allah tested, yeah? Adam, Idris, Noah. Noah was tested that his children himself, his children didn't ignore the father's invitation. It's not easy. When he can save some other people, but his immediately son, yeah, one of the son, choose not to follow the father. Lut, the wife, choose not to follow. Ibrahim, the father, choose not to follow. Prophets among prophets also, Allah tested them. Our prophet, the uncle, that's so good to him, Abu Talib, chose not to follow him. It's not easy. Yeah? Allah will test us, but look at the qurban of all the prophets. Allahu Akbar. Ibrahim was tested by Allah to offer his only son at that time that he loves so much as a sacrifice for Allah. None of us will be tested in that manner, inshallah. So Allah said, He tests us just to see which one of us are better in our deeds. It's easy for you to say, inshallah, I will do this, I will do that, when you don't have. When you have, then that is the time. Allah will see whether you are doing it or not. Yeah? When you don't have knowledge, you have nothing to say. When you have knowledge, what are you going to say? What are you going to say when you have knowledge? Do you share the knowledge with your friend, your family? That's what you have to do. You are not going to use the knowledge to go and judge people and condemn people. No, no. You are using the knowledge to go and help them, educate them, you know, remind them, but not to judge them. When you have more to give, are you giving? All this is a test from Allah. Frequent remembrance of death is something the Prophet encourages Ummah. Death should just be a constant reminder for us and a means of controlling our desires and restraining our greed. Anas and Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhumah reported that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أكثر الذكر حازم اللذات اللذات الموت. Frequently remember the destroyer of pleasure, that is death. The pleasure that we are having today because we still have our desire, we have the nafs. But when death is coming close to us, all our nafs have been cut off. That's why we don't have the feeling to eat, we don't have the desire to drink, we don't have the desire to everything anymore. When death is coming very close, one of the signs, you will see one by one, all the desire we have is going to stop. It's going to stop. People prepare all the best food, we just don't have the feeling to eat anymore. And sometimes when people come to us, we just don't have the desire to entertain what they want to say. We are so tired. We are struggling within ourselves. We don't even want to open our eyes sometimes to look at the people. We just want to close our eyes. We want to rest. Don't disturb me. And that's why the Prophet said, when somebody passed away, the first thing that we should help is also to close the eye. Because the eye will follow where the soul is being pulled off. The soul may come from the bottom, also from up from the bottom, but the eye will follow. That's why most of the people die, you see the eye open. They have to see. Allah wants them to see. Number one, they will see angel of death. Number one. We can see, but the one who is dying, he can see the angel of death. Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu comment about this in one of the hadiths. We will come to the hadith one day, inshallah. And also, for the believer, at that point of time, behind the angel of death, you had the angel of mercy, giving us glad tidings. لا تخاف ولا تحزن. Don't worry. Don't fear, because Allah loves you. So the person who wants to die, if he's a believer, when he got that kind of glad tiding, now he have the peace. Certain death to us, but to them, even the accident, to us, our value is a sudden death, but to them, they have to go through. The angel of death also will communicate with them already. Angel of death are very close to all of us. We forget him always, but he never forgets. He is just ready. When Allah said, time's up. But you know that all of us have a angel of death. Every one of us is been appointed by Allah an angel of death. If we can see him, we will collapse. We got another heart attack. But the Prophet is telling us, frequently remember the destroyer of pleasure, that is death. That means if you always remember that you are going to die, that's nothing wrong to and yet remind yourself that we are not going to live forever. But then you must always make sure that you are doing something. And not just give up, I want to die. No. Yes, you are going to die. You don't have to worry about your death, because the death will come to you. But you have to grab the opportunity. What I've not been doing yet? What is the thing that I've done yet? I want to do it before it's too late. You know? None would remember it while in a tightness of living, but it would expand it for him. And none would remember it while in an ease of living, but it will tighten it for him. Normally, we only feel because the desire is still very strong. But the Prophet ﷺ is reminding us, there are times we get frustrated, then we think. There are times that we are tested, then we think that, it's better for me to die. It's better for me to die. Yeah. Normally, I think most of us do have that experience sometimes. Yeah. When you are sick, you say, I better die than to go through all this suffering. Yeah. When something happened, I want to die. Yeah. So everybody want to die. Yeah. But when you are okay, you never want to die. Those who are in the hospital, if you ask them, Sudara, don't worry about me. Let me go. But suddenly you are healthy, you can get out from the hospital. I don't go into the hospital again. That is life. Remembering death maintain for a person a balanced view of life. When you always remember that you are going to die, and you are not going to bring everything with you, all your wealth, your children, and everything is not going to follow you. The only thing that is going to be very loyal and faithful to you is your deeds, your iman. Other than that, they are not going to follow you. Even your beloved husband said, "No, I love you from the bottom of my heart. No, I live and die with you." The sun, the moon, can be a witnesses. When you die, he said, "Ma'a salama." Nobody want to follow. Nobody want to follow. That is reality. He would not go to the extreme of despair in the face of affliction, nor would he go to the extreme of arrogance and callousness when favored by an easy life. We are always ready to be thankful to Allah when we receive more, and we have more sabar when Allah tests. This is what the Prophet asked from Allah. To be thankful when he was given the opportunity to pray, to fast, be very thankful. And if something happened, something bad happened, may Allah increase sabar to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what the Prophet always asked. Sabar wa shukur. We shukur only when we receive things. We forget to make shukur when we are able to give. Because if you are given the opportunity to do good deeds, you should be thankful. If you can pray Zohar after this, it's a nikmah. You should be very thankful. That's why each time when you're performing your prayer, you should also thank Allah. Then Allah give you another chance to pray a Zohar. You may have gone back before Zohar. And then Asar come in. Now you're going to pray Asar. MashaAllah. These are all Allah's blessing. And because before you want to pray, what you have to do? You have to take ablution. And after taking ablution, and you recite a dua. And the dua, if you die at that point of time, what is going to happen to you? The Prophet said, 8 gates of paradise is open for you. Allahu Akbar. It's a ni'mah. Now the gate is closed now. Now because Zohar is not yet here. The Fajr gate, they open. Now wait for Zohar gate. When Zohar come in and you take ablution and you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. Just that. You don't have to add Allahumma ja'alni minat tawwabin wa ja'alni minal mutatahhirin. Just the two shahada and you die. The gate of paradise is open for you again. And when you pray again, Allah, no, the Prophet said, there is a gate in paradise named, like, for the fasting, Rayyan. For those who pray, there is another gate for them. Only those who die while praying, they will enter through this gate. It's a ni'mah. It's a ni'mah. Yeah. So, the believing people, they are always waiting for this. After one prayer, they are waiting for the second one. After the second one. So the same thing, after doing one thing good, you are preparing to do another thing. Yeah? So you always plan. Yeah? You do not just, sudahlah, you know. I have done something good after Fajar. You know. So I don't have to do anymore. Yeah? Maybe next year. No. Allah give you rizki almost every day. Yeah? And that's why Allah said, وَأَنْفِكُ مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Whatever Allah, whenever Allah give us something, we must prepare to give back to Allah Rabbul Alameen. Yeah? Furthermore, when a person remembers death while performing an act of worship, he would be more likely to perfect that particular act. Yeah? Anas reported that the Prophet ﷺ always said that. Remember death in your prayer. Verily, when a man remembers death in his prayer, he is, trying to perfect his prayer, he is sure to make sure that he will give the best prayer. That means you are more focused, more khushu'. Then pray the prayer of a man who does not expect to pray another prayer. And that's why there is a saying, somewhere in certain state, semayanglah sebelum kamu disembahyangkan. Because whether you like it or not, people will have to pray, funeral prayer for you. So pray the prayer of a man who does not expect to pray. Another prayer is that you must make sure that this is your last prayer. If you know that this is your last prayer, what do you think you will do? MashaAllah. I think if you know that after Zohar prayer you are going to die, if you know after Zohar prayer you will die, I don't think you want to stop. Praying Zohar. You will keep on praying as long as you like, because you know the angel said, after Zohar you give salam, I'm going to pull your soul. I don't think any one of us want to give salam that fast. No? I think you want to rokok for 1 hour, sujud for 1 hour, because you know after salam, you are gone. No? Just an example. We have seen through our lifetime, when we engage ourselves in doing all the good things, and when we have been humiliated, we have been tested. Who humiliate us? Who tests us today? The one that is humiliating us, who are testing us most today, is our own people. Meaning, the Muslim is been very unkind, unmercy towards another Muslim. We are very mean to one another. That hurt us a lot. If the not yet Muslim declare us as their enemy, we are ready for that. Because we know. Because we are in a different faith and so on. But when fellow Muslim is hard on us, humiliate us, say this, say that, we are trying to follow the Quran and Sunnah, but now you have Muslims say, we have turned astray. Following Sunnah, they say, is wrong, is extreme. How do you feel? Do you feel sad? Sad. When they are not following Sunnah, they don't feel anything. And they are saying that people who follow Sunnah is wrong. Example, we feel very sad. In our conference, when we have open Q&A, a lot of people share the same problem. They're complaining because they say, what happened to us, Muslims? We have been very hard, very mean, we lie, we cheat, we corrupt. No, we want to be corrupted. Muslims want to be corrupted. When we know corruption is so bad, we lie, we cheat, we make promise. We have speaker who came from UK, they say, the experiences, they say, if they talk to a not yet Muslim, they say, I want to rent your house. And they have agreed. It's 1,500 per month. But if somebody is going to offer more, they say no. Because I have promised Allahu Akbar. But can you imagine when Muslim doing business with Muslim? They promise you, you give them money, cash already. But you are not there yet. But if somebody will offer them more, they will give you back your money. They say, I'm sorry. No amana. No amana. And this do not just happen here. It happened even in the Holy Land. This is how bad we are today. No amana. Everything back to amana. We thought that money is everything. No, no, no. There's no more barakah in life. And the Prophet remind us, and stay away. Avoid every matter that would require an apology. What is that? What is that? What do we understand by this reminder from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When you do something wrong, you say something wrong, what should you do? You have to say sorry, apology. So you don't do or say anything that is not right. So you must know how to control your tongue. That's why the Prophet said, Man kana yu'min billah yawmil akhir falyakul khairan aw liyasmut. Whoever believes in Allah in the Day of Judgment, before you say anything, you think, is this good? But what can I do? Puas hati. We like to let go, and then later on we regret. Don't. Why not you just hold on? Allah will reward you because of your patience. Inshallah. So you don't have to ask for apology, because you don't do anything bad. So there's nothing for you to ask for apology, because you don't do anything bad. You respect, you honor, you are trustworthy, You love the young and you respect the elders. You always try your best to please others for the sake of Allah. There's nothing for you to ask for apology anymore. When we were there in Pakistan, the organizer always see me and ask for an apology. They apologize, please, and I'm sorry in case I say, it's okay, no problem. But of course, I'm upset for a while. I'm upset because, according to the itinerary, I may have three session per day. But it's back to back. They say, okay, now you can rest. I start to go and take a rest. Then somebody will knock the door. Now we have to go down again. Another function, another corner is waiting for us. I say, I look at my itinerary, it's not here. But then I say, but they are waiting for you. But alhamdulillah, Allah give us help. Only we do have some cough here and there. Now, if they have done everything, they don't have to apologize, but because they overlook, they didn't brief us properly. But normally, some of the speaker, we are ready for that. We know. No, we know that. Somebody say, "No, Ustaz, you must stand firm. You know, you just follow what is been agreed upon." I say, "Inshallah, inshallah." But I know, man, they mean well. They mean well. Even we go to school, it's back to back, back to back. You know? But I say, as long as I'm healthy, I don't mind. You know? But it's good for us to make sure that we brief, you know, all the speaker, so that they are ready. They do not want to caught by surprise. Suddenly, now they want to rest. You say, no. There's another program waiting for you. Yeah? But may Allah reward them, inshallah, for their patience. Yeah? Doing good things sometimes, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of tests too. Yeah? But we must always be ready to do more for the sake of Allah Rabbul Alamin, inshallah. Yeah? But if, like I said, the Prophet said, avoid every matter that would require an apology. But if you organize nicely, I think all we agreed, then you don't have to worry anymore, you know, because it's something that we have agreed upon. May Allah Rabbul Alamin accept all our deeds, inshallah. The last thing that I like to share with all the good brothers and sisters, beware of their ways. Since death is a common factor to all of us, whether Muslim or not yet Muslim, you are sure to die one day. Funeral practices and procedures are present in all cultures. Everyone has their own culture. Many of those practices are devised by people who do not fear Allah, have no concern about what pleases or anger Allah, or derive their practices from false and deviate religion. That means a lot of people is going to make money from funeral, and it is happening. Nowadays, death is a big business. But the Muslim in general, until today, they are the cheapest, alhamdulillah. Yeah. I have one of my friends also asked me, "Ustaz, what do you think about we start to open a death parlor and then trying to..." I say, "You want to do business? Oh, this is good business." You say, no, the Chinese have nirvana here, nirvana there. No, we also have to do..." I say, "No, as a Muslim, I said we don't do business, from people's death. No, we should make things easier. We should help them. Yeah? We should help them." Yeah? I've seen this through my experiences, that if you always make things easy for those who pass away, the family members, you will see at the end of the day, when something happened to us, Allah will make it very easy. You make it easy for others, Allah make it easy for you. So don't follow other ways. Try to follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Chinese funeral is not cheap. So those Chinese who want to die economically death, make shahada. Why you make shahada? Alhamdulillah. You save a lot. That's a good thing, you know. When you feel they're worried about this, say, "Please make shahada. Inshallah. When you make shahada, everything okay." We don't mind. We don't mind to spend on them if they make shahada. Do we mind? We would love to do all these things for them. If they just come to Islam, Allahu Akbar. We get everything ready for them. But what can we do? Until today, we don't even call them to Islam. That's the best time when people are not well. It's good for you to remind them about Islam. As foretold by Allah's Messenger, the Prophet ﷺ, many Muslims have the inclination to follow the footsteps of other people. When people use flower, we also flower. When people have beautiful coffin, we want those beautiful coffin. When people want marble, we also marble. We are not following the way Allah and the Prophet want us to do. Yeah? Even if that leads to a certain destruction. This is very apparent in many of the funeral rites today and practices. No? We sadly find that instead of following to the text of the Quran and Sunnah, many Muslims today import culture or practices from the Nasara, the Yahud, and also from the Jahiliyyah culture. Yeah? Very sad. Yeah? To the extent now we don't know the difference now. Last time you can see the difference. You know? Very easily from far you know the difference. You know? Today we are following. Not they follow us. They should follow us. But now we are following them. Now you look at the graveyard. People are selling flowers. People are offering you marble. Grade 1, grade 2, grade 3. Imported, local. They will ask you what you want. They have a list of products. Can you imagine that you don't do business even until when people die, you still want to make money out from them? But alhamdulillah, in the Middle East, they don't have this nonsense. Why? Because the caretaker of the graveyard are scholars. So they don't allow any un-Islamic practices to come into the graveyard. If you start to bring bottle of water, they'll just grab the bottle and throw it away. If you bring flower, they'll take the flower, either they put into, call you to bring it back, or they'll bring to your house. Or they put in the office, here I need flower. You know? And there I can see the fragrance, I can smell, but deaf, they cannot benefit from the flower anymore. But, you know, we are so emotional, you know, how can you just leave your loved one like that? Without putting flour for what? If the Prophet said, put flour, then we put flour. We don't put flour. We will plant a tree for them. You can't do that. But they said the Prophet did break some branches of the tamar tree and then he just put it on the grave. He have done that because of what? He did not do that without a reason. Because the two graves, Allah permit the Prophet to hear the punishment, the torment in the grave. And that's why he break the branch of the tamar tree that is close by and he prayed, may Allah protect them. Is the punishment of the grave for this one and two graveyard because of the sin that they have committed. Yeah. Only twice. Here he broke the branch of the tamar tree. Not all sahaba have that kind of funeral arrangement. Yeah? That also because Allah allowed the Prophet to hear the torment of the grave. One is because the person who died like to gossip. So Allah punished them immediately. They don't have to wait until Qiyamah from the kubur. They got the punishment. The second is a person who do not clean themselves when they respond to the call of nature. They don't clean themselves. And because of that, they have been punished. So we must be very careful. Now this cleaning yourself, our children is not being taught properly. Our children is not being taught. When you have water, then you must use water. When you don't have water, then you can use other means. The toilet paper. The toilet paper, the rough one, not the soft one. Not the normal tissue. The rough type, you can still use. It's like a dry cleaning. But when there's water, we must teach our children. So the mother teach the daughter, the father teach the son. Because sometimes we forgot. We feel shy, you know. But we must, because it's part of ibadah, ablution, cleanliness is part of ibadah. We must educate our children to clean themselves properly, because they are going to perform prayer. Hmm. In the folds of this book, we sometimes warn about practices that involve imitation, taklit Buddha, of the disbeliever. What the disbeliever do, we are following them. Yeah? However, every Muslim should work on developing a sense of identity, the uniqueness and honor in regard to Islam. We are Muslim. We are living as a Muslim. We are going to die as a Muslim. We want our burial to be Islamic. That's all. We want our graveyard to be Islamic. The Islamic graveyard is a graveyard. It's not a garden. You don't have to plant trees. We need space. We don't have to build extra shade and all these things. You don't have to do that. Allah will give them the shade in the day of judgment where there's no other shade except the shade of Allah. Not this kind of shade, umbrella, a roof. This one cannot help the deceased. But the Prophet says, سَبْعَاثٌ يُزِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي زِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا زِلَّ إِلَّا زِلُّ. Seven groups of this ummah will be under the shade of Allah in the day of judgment when there's no other shade except Allah's shade. The shelter must come from Allah. That is what we want to do. But we may not be aware what kind of acts or deeds then can qualify us to receive the shade from Allah, Rabbul Alameen. So we must try and work on developing a sense of identity, be proud of we as Muslim, the uniqueness in Islam, and honor what Islam want us to do, not what other people want us to do, not what our tradition want us to do, not what our friend want us to do. He should be ever alert in regard to any action departing from the teaching of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, the Sunnah, and straying into the prohibited territory of imitating the kuffar. Today, from living to dying, we are following other people. Our eating habit, drinking, adapt everything, our dressing, the way we talk, the way we do things, we don't care. We are in the not yet Muslim is par, and sometimes they are better than us. Yeah? Do we experience that sometimes people who are not yet Muslim are better than us? Yeah, too bad. That is too bad because we are the best ummah. They should follow us, not we follow them. The differences in funeral procedure between Muslim and the not yet Muslim, practical though they may be, are surely based on deep conceptual and faith-based differences. Normally, number one is because our faith are different. What is the purpose of a funeral service? In contrast to what we mentioned earlier in this chapter, and what will be re-emphasized throughout this book, look at how a not yet Muslim answer this question. For those who are left behind, a funeral provides a place for family and friend to gather and to reminisce, an opportunity to celebrate the life and accomplishment of a loved one, a chance to say bye-bye, and the focal point from which the healing process can begin. The funeral identifies that a person's life has been lived, not that a death has occurred. It is also important to notify the community that this person has died. There are people beyond the immediate family who have the right to grieve a death. For instance, what would have happened in the United States of any or any country if there had not been a funeral for dear president? What is going to happen? Just imagine. Not just this, he's just quoting, the writer just quote about the president of America, that it can be the president of any country. Do you see in this any mention of Allah or the hereafter? Of course. Most of the time, when people die, if they are a non-believer, they won't have anything to do with Allah, because they are non-believer. Do you see any hint of lesson to be learned by the survivor to take heed and improve the way they conduct their life? Nobody is there to really remind, but lately we have another issue. In certain countries, when they bury the Muslim who passed away, then they get one good imam, alhamdulillah, to come and do the final ritual. But sometimes, I've seen some thing that happened. They use that time to really giving all those who are present a very, very strong reminder. So strong that it's like you are shouting at everybody who is alive, who come to the graveyard. I don't think that should be that way. You can remind them, so that they feel remorse. Your good friend is no more already. One day we will follow suit. So we should try to recall the good thing, and whatever bad thing that we know, we should try to change, and we should forgive. But they use that place to give a khutbah like khutbah Jumaat. I think that is too much. Neither you can just be too happy, also is you can't, I remember when my father passed away, I was still young. So we must follow the funeral, and then for a Chinese, if you are a good son, and if the father is a good father, normally the children will cry. The children must cry. If the children don't cry, then you know that the man is not a good man. So that's what the children don't feel sad at all. I remember that my elder sister is the one who cried the most, to the extent she got fainted halfway. But for a Chinese culture, that is a good sign. I do not know how to cry at that time. We are still young. Then I cry because my uncle pinched me. I can still remember, he pinched me, so I have to cry. But today, the Chinese funeral sometimes, they will pay a group of people just for them to cry. Now that is, it's good to feel remorse, but to cry because you have been paid, that means it's not from your heart. You cry because you love the person. Even the Prophet, he cried. When his children passed away, he himself cried. When Abraham, the last son, passed away, he shed tears. So some of the companions looked at the Prophet and said, "Ya Rasulullah, you also shed tears." He said, "If you don't have that kind of feeling, that means you have a very hard heart. Your heart is too hard. If you love somebody and the person you love pass away and you don't feel anything, you must be a superman, You must feel, because the people that you love, you have that kind of feeling. You have the attachment. Do you see this in any of the leader who are non-believer? Will mention Allah, of course not. Will remind them about the hereafter? No. Do you see any hint or lesson to be learned by the survivor to take heed and improve the way they conduct their life? Neither they do that. How then could the disbeliever practices be of any good for us to follow? We indeed praise our Lord Allah for being so merciful to us to guide us to His straight path. Not only He guide us when we are alive, He guide us from the day we were born until we die. How you want to show your gratitude towards Allah when you have a newborn baby boy or girl? You do aqiqah, you have tahnik, you have the halak and so on. Allah have been guiding us from the day we were born and the day we die. what to do? Yeah? If you really love the people that pass away, your family member, then you have to do what Allah wants you to do, not what you like to do. So if people is offering you what kind of marble you want to use, you know, what kind of stone, and you tell them thank you, because you want to say no, they don't understand. And if you try to educate, they say you are wrong again, you know, because they love the adat more than the religion. You know. So it becomes a big business. They ask you what grass do you want. Grass pun they are selling now. You know. So you tell them, I want the graveyard, yeah, the grave, to be like a grave. Not to be a garden. To be a grave, that's all. It's not easy, I know some of us, you may be tested by Allah. You want to do that, the other family members want to do others. Sometimes you want to do, you want to follow, but now you have another family members coming up with all the different color and different flower. You do one, but some people are very emotional. You know? They are coming up with flower and with a jug of water again. You know? You don't know what is going to happen. Yeah? And normally we like that. Normally we like that to happen. Please, if possible, anything happen to us, to our children, don't forget our own identity, our own uniqueness, our own value. Yeah? Even our Prophet, yeah, companions of the Prophet, very, very simple. They know. You know, when you die, nothing can really benefit you except trees. Sadaqatin jariya, ilmun yuntafu bihi, and waladun saleh yatu'ulahu. So make sure you have left behind righteous children. You have done your sadaqah, your waqaf, if any. And whatever knowledge you have learned, you have shared with your loved one. That's all you have to do. Yeah? So be more prepared, brother and sister, and may Allah Rabbul Alameen, and make our ending an easy one, inshaAllah. And not only when we die following the Quran and Sunnah, we hope that after our death, the funeral will be done according to the Quran and Sunnah. That is very important. Yeah. So if there's any question on this, now we open for the second part, the Q&A. Fatafaddal. For the sister first, now. Faddal. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The right of the Muslim? Okay. Correct. 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 Now. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes there are times when a companion asks the Prophet, what is the basic right among fellow Muslims? So at one time the Prophet may say 5. Yeah? Another time the Prophet said 6. Now why the 5 here and then later on 6? Or later on you say there will be 7? It's because when the Prophet wants to make it simple, yeah, to somebody, he just focused on the basic. Example, about mayat. Iza mata fatba'ahu. When a Muslim pass away, you should follow and pay a visit. Yeah. But now, pay a visit to do what? You do not just be present and don't participate in a prayer. And now the other hadith later on will explain further. Not just to be there, to be around, but should participate in the funeral prayer. So now you pass. you plus one more already. The first one is Muslim's funeral. Because the hadith talk about haqqul Muslim ala Muslim. Yeah, the right between fellow Muslim. The hadith talk about the right upon fellow Muslim. But for other funeral, you can be there, there's nothing wrong. Yeah? But only we cannot participate in the ritual. You are present, you only can be around, that's all. The same go to give salam. Giving salam is what? It's not wajib. Giving salam is sunnah mu'akkada. Highly recommended, but if you don't offer salam, you do not commit a sin. But if a person who want to follow the Islamic adab, when you don't give salam, I don't want to respond to you. If you ask me, I don't want to answer. You talk to me, I don't want to say anything. I silent. You cannot say, oh, sombong. No. Because you do not start our relationship by offering a prayer, assalamu alaikum, because salam is a prayer. We are here to bring peace to you. So we don't have a bad intention to come and create problems. We are here to pray for peace, and we hope that you also accept me with peace. But when person offer you, it's wajib for you to respond. The Prophet did say, Hakul Muslim ala Muslim, I just quote the sixth one first. Sittun in the Hadith Sahih Muslim, six. Iza laqitahu fasallim alayk, when you meet each other, you're offering the Islamic greeting. Wa iza da'aka fa'ajibhu, and a person invite you for, especially when they invite you for food. Food that they have to pay. That means like in a hotel, no, they say they have booked 10 tables. And every 10 people per table, they have to pay. Now, if you don't turn up, it's a waste. And that kind of invitation, when you say, yes, I'm coming, you must go. If not, you are the cost of the pembaziran, the waste. Yeah? Iza da'aka fa'ajibhu, number two. Number three, iza atasha fa'haminallah fa'samithu. When a person sneezes, he said, Alhamdulillah, you say, Yarhamkullah, and he or she will respond, Yahdikumullah, wa yuslibalakum. Wa izan sahaka fansahu. When somebody comes to you and asks for advice, give them a little advice. No? Lend them an ear, listen. You cannot say, I'm sorry, I'm busy. No. How busy you are when people come to you seek for some advice, they need some help. Just lend them an ear. Listen also is helping them. Fansahu, the Prophet. You cannot say, I'm sorry, I don't know, I cannot help you. At least you said, inshallah, I'll pray for you. To say prayer is difficult. Yeah. May you have patience first. Example. Number what now? Four. Yeah. Four already. Huh? Number one, if you meet each other, you give salam. When you are invited, yeah, especially for the you respond. When you sneeze, you say Alhamdulillah. And when you ask for advice, you give them advice. How many? Okay. Going number five. Then is a fa iza marida fa uthu, when a person is sick, visit them. Yeah. But there's also adab. Yeah? Please remember, to visit the sick also, there has adab. If the doctor had advised you, don't, because he needs rest. More people come and visit him, you get more tired, because the nurses also on off come and visit him already, or her, to take the blood pressure, or take blood again, and all these things. And then we come plus again. So how can he or she rest, you know, when they need a lot of rest? So there's an adab that If you feel that they need rest, don't disturb them. You only go to them when the hour for the visiting hour, or you just call and then say, we'll pray for you, take rest. Maybe after 3 days, you can start to pray. If they don't need your presence, wait until 3 days when they are better, then you go and visit them. Adab. But there are people who really need you to be around. So you have to go already. When you know that that particular person need your presence, they need your moral support, then you have to go already. And the last one, فَإِذَا مَاتَ فَاتْبَعْهُ. When a person die, then you follow the funeral. If you can pray, you pray. If you can't, you can follow to the graveyard. May some sister can't pray because you don't have, you are not clean, you can't pray, but you can still send, follow to the graveyard. You get one qirat. You don't get the first one, you get the second qirat. So you don't miss the qirat. Some people say, oh, so if I can't pray, why must I go to the graveyard? Because going to the graveyard also is a kind of moral support. And you get reward satu qirat. Naam. Not a good what? Not in good term. Yeah, you must honor his right that no, he don't want to see you. Yeah, his right. If it's like the American today, the president said no, they don't like the Muslim to come. So it's their country one. Yeah, it's their country, and they say you don't have to come, don't go lah. That's how it goes. Yeah, they have their right, it's their country. So yalah, amanah lah, the amanah. Then you must honor is also, but then later on the one that he don't like, maybe the family member have no problem. Nampak tak? The family members have no problem, only that person have a problem. So then we should not go. And then later on the habitrates, that kind of thing, and then you can surat rahim dengan the living. No problem. There's nothing wrong. You cannot, treat him like an enemy because the one who passed away said he is my enemy. You cannot do like that. Maybe they have a personal problem. You just leave it to them. He's gone. And now this person may also have remorse and changing. So why not we have a surat rahim again? There's nothing wrong. Yeah? Members of the family. This thing is a very sensitive issue. Very, very sensitive issue. But we do for the sake of Allah. Yeah? The one who don't like you is no more here. So you cannot just prolong the hatred. Yeah. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Naam. Any other question from the sister? Naam. Faddal. Salam wa rahmatullah.
Again? The adab of visiting the graveyard.
Now we just do what the Prophet recommend us to do, because visiting the grave is a sunnah. That the one thing that the Prophet said that we should do when you enter the graveyard, you give salam. First adab. Assalamualaikum ya ahlal diyar min al-mu'minin wal muslimin wa inna insha'Allah bikum lahikun. If you memorize, if you don't memorize, then you can give in. Yeah, just a dua. Salam. I think the salam we all have memorized. You want to mention assalamualaikum ya ahlal diyar, you may forget. You can say assalamualaikum ya ahlal kubur. Ahlal kubur for everybody, not only for your family member or your friend, no. But you may go to that particular grave.
to do some cleaning and so. But when you offer the salam, you offer salam for every Muslim who's in the grave. To show us that, no, when the Muslims are praying for another Muslim, they should pray for everybody. When you go to the graveyard, the particular graveyard, and maybe you want to sit there, not really sit, no, they should don't have a tool for you to sit. You just stand and show some respect, yeah, to the people who have passed away. They need for you to show some little respect. That's why you don't go to this kind of place and do a lot of funny thing there. No, you can't. You have to show some respect and make dua. That's what the Prophet said. Make dua for them. Istaghfiru li aqikum. Ask Allah to forgive their soul. The Quran was revealed as a guidance for those who are still living. For those who have passed away, they can't hear us anymore. Because even Allah informed Prophet Muhammad SAW, إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَ. One ayah, Allah said to Prophet Muhammad, indeed you, Muhammad, cannot make the dead hear you anymore. وَمَا تُفِّ السُّدُورِ and وَمَا فِي الْكُبُورِ, and you cannot make those who are in the grave hear you anymore. So there's no teaching, yeah, for them anymore. Making dua, yes. Yeah. So you don't have to bring water. You don't have to bring flour. Just bring yourself and make dua. Very practical. Now, any last question from the all the girls and young girls, do you have any question? No. The brothers, any question from the brother side? Naam, fadal. Assalamu alaikum.
You mean
who is in coma? The Prophet ﷺ, through his sunnah, when people are very ill, very sick, sakratul maut, or now you call coma, we do not know, the doctor said, you know, he's not conscious and so on. The minute you visit them, if possible, touch body, yeah, touch. You must touch them and go near to their ear, if you have the opportunity, get close, and whisper. I remind him, don't forget to say La ilaha illallah. Because I've seen this through my experiences. Yeah, somebody who was very sick and then went into first coma. So the family called me, I went to the hospital. So I keep on, you know, holding his hand, put pressure, calling him, call his name, and I'm telling him that I am so and so, because we were close. And then I also said, your wife, your children is here. I mentioned the name. People who are coma, it's like they are dreaming. They are lost somewhere. So I'm calling him, I press his hand, I said, La ilaha illallah. After 10 minutes, Allahu Akbar, he opened his eye, he came back. Then we asked him, do you hear me calling you? Yeah. It's like I'm so lost. Like says sesat jalan. So suddenly I hear a voice. I'm following back the voice. Now I'm back. MashaAllah. We were so happy when we, you know, experienced that kind of thing with him. Then I said, Alhamdulillah, since you have memorized, you hear the word La ilallah. So he also have said La Muhammad. We feel so released. So I went home. After another maybe 45 minutes, an hour, he went through another coma. So they called me, I went again. So I do the same thing, but Allah Kareem. This time the second night, after sometime more than half an hour, he opened his eye and he said, La ilaha illallah, and then he go. He's gone.
I tell you that's feeling until today when I share this kind of story with anyone, I can feel, you know, that his soul is so blessed because he managed to say La ilaha illallah before he passed away. The whole room is so peaceful that in the wife, the children, nobody really feel bad. They feel so peaceful for the father. And I recall what happened, you know, to this man. He's a very new student of mine. Every time when I pass them some knowledge, he will never practice that particular knowledge until he come to me personally, check with me, and then ask me for blessing. Minta izin, Ustaz, untuk saya amal ilmu ini. But he want to confirm whether his understanding is correct, and then minta izin. Of course, when we give you the knowledge, it's for you to practice. But the adab he have. No, the adab, he come back to you, reconfirm, and ask you for permission, because knowledge came from you, so they honor you and they ask you for the permission. It's Allah's blessing. Kadang certain people have certain adab value in them that Allah make, yeah, them have a very good ending. So we always try to do the best. Adab also is important. Yeah, this is something, yeah, that I experienced with this young. There are some people who when they are sakratul maut, we call them that they're not coma, but they're in pain now. Yeah. But so difficult for them to say la ilaha until the end. Yeah. But they are Muslim, alhamdulillah, we leave it to Allah to make the final judgment. But when the one that I share with you about those who went into coma, don't give up. That's why the doctor now said, no, they don't declare they are dead yet. They can't. Because some other organ is still functioning. Yeah. So until the doctor confirms he's dead, then have you. But we don't give up. Anybody who come close to the person who is coma, try to go near to their ear and whisper, say, La ilaha illallah. Call his name, introduce yourself, and say, Jangan lupa sebut La ilaha illallah. That is the best thing to do. The rest you leave it to Allah Rabbul Alamin. And that's why the Prophet encouraged you when you make shahada to raise the index finger. Like when you hear azan, Ashhadu an La ilaha illallah, then you raise up your hand. When the shahada, Ashhadu an La ilaha illallah, is a sunnah, yeah, to raise your finger. Now, if you are used to it, when you are not well with all the tube here, maybe people is guiding you, but you are responding, but they cannot hear you. Neither you can say it clear from here because with all the tube and so on. But by moving your finger, then is a sign that you are responding. That is why it's a sunnah to do this. Get used to it. When you hear the azan anywhere, when the muazzin, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, you move. That means you are responding. Your body is responding to the oneness of Allah. Yeah? Do that. Yeah? Always do that. Then if you are guiding the person who is very sick and suddenly he moves his finger, then you know he is responding. When he responds, you don't keep on pressing him anymore. You know? Then he get upset. What are you trying to tell me? You know, I have to make sure the callers, you know. When they respond, then you make dua, Ya Allah, give him a good ending. Ya muqallib al-qulub, sabbil qalbahu atau qalbaha ala dini wa ala ta'ati. Make his heart steadfast that he will always remember you. Inshallah. Yeah. Last one.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. No, normally when we teach, all the knowledge is amana from Allah to us. So when the student is there to listen to the knowledge, it is a blessing for us. Of course, we are giving it for all of you. But sometimes there are different people have different extra adab, where Allah will reward them for that extra adab. Now that is the difference, you know. Different people have different kind of value. That's why in the Prophet time, different sahabat have different character. They have different value. Yeah. Now the reason that I like his way is what? He will come and confirm with me first before he went to Ammar. That was very, very good for him. You know? He learned so fast, you know, because he want to make sure that he have the right understanding and he will act accordingly. And that is something very good. But now you are learning, what do you really understand? I do not know. To what level you're understanding, neither I know. Yeah. So if you follow up with reconfirmation, at least I know, oh, you got it wrong. It should be like this. Yeah. Then we also have confidence that you are not going to do it wrongly. And we are happy that you double check. And of course, we are praying, may Allah make it easy for you. The reconfirmation is good to make sure that we do not misinterpret what we have learned. That is very important, inshallah. Yeah. So, brother and sister, inshallah, I said again, you don't have to come and ask me for permission. No need. It's enough. Just if you're not sure, it's good for you to reconfirm. And then I will make sure that you have the right understanding. Then it's easy for you to practice it. And it's easy for you to convey the knowledge to others because you have the right understanding. مَا يُرِدُ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. The Prophet said, whoever Allah loves to give him a lot of care, a lot of goodness, Allah will make him understand his deen. Now, remember, sometimes understanding do not really come from us. It is a gift from Allah. When you are humble, you are sincere, inshallah, you can understand easier and better. Until we see you again, inshallah, next Wednesday. And for the sisters, brother who are free to join us every Saturday, Sunday class, you're all welcome. Yeah? If you have the time, you can bring your other family members so that we learn together. Yeah, inshallah. Inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. How are you?